I had to smile as I stood in the back for all those songs. It is definitely a clash, a challenge to grab hold of all the metaphors as we try to wrap our brains around the concept of heaven, our forever home. We will turn our attention to the book of Revelation in just a moment. As the Holy Spirit of God weighs in for us and with us with his own metaphors for us to try to capture in our hearts and our minds what heaven will be like. God's grace, his mercy, and his peace are yours because of God the Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Liza Minnelli sang it first. Frank Sinatra made it famous. Joel Nelson offered to sing it with me if there was a karaoke machine. And Matt Chapman offered to do some background percussion. I'll leave that story to him. You know how it goes? New York, New York, do you remember? If you want to sing it with me, feel free, but we're going to sing a little bit. Start spreading the news, I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York, these vagabond shoes are longing to stray and step around the heart of it. New York, New York, I wanna wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it. New York, New York, if I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York. Very good. Thank you. I was most nervous for that. Where is your New York? What is the city of your dreams? Have you accomplished your dreams? You know, when the Holy Spirit touches us through the waters of holy baptism and introduces us to our Savior Jesus Christ, it wouldn't surprise me if he whispered into our hearts this thought, "My child, do not dream too small. Dream beyond this earth, beyond what you see. For there is a forever home waiting for you, a true city that never sleeps." Let's read about that city that never sleeps, Revelation 22, 1 through 5, and read it along with me. Let's go at a slower pace and grab hold of all the metaphors and pictures. Let's read. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the city's river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." Do you see the fullness of the life that is waiting for you? In the Florida Panhandle, there is an amazing gift of the Creator known as Wakulla Springs. The Florida aquifer, that layer of water beneath the crust of the Florida Peninsula, boils out of the ground at Wakulla at 400,000 gallons of water per minute at a constant 69 degrees. Swimming in that spring is one of the greatest experiences of my life. Crystal clear water boiling out of the ground with no odor, no scum, no algae, just life pouring out of the ground. And I tried to swim down into the spring, and the force of the water just overwhelms you and pushes back and pushes you to the surface as the water of life just pours from the ground. We do know, don't we, that water is one of the building blocks of life. Like 80-some percent of our bodies are actually water, right? Why is that? Well, we're told, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, the palette of the Creator. Jesus himself takes up the picture of life-giving water, trying to get us to sense the blessing of actually believing in him for salvation. Remember him at the well at Sychar with the Samaritan woman, speaking first of the water that came out of the ground, but applying it to spiritual, as he said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And so we find ourselves with the Apostle John in Revelation 22, discovering in our forever home the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb right down the middle of the great street. Blessings in abundance with easy access for all. Think of the picture. A river of the water of life, of God's blessings pouring out from the Almighty God. And there will be no fear of the presence and the power of the Almighty God, because John tells us that the Lamb is there. Jesus, who gave his blood in the face of God's anger over sin, that full and free forgiveness might flow from him and from his Father forever, filling our lives so full of the love and the heart of our God, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die for you and me. So you see, in the land of forever, our forever home, God's heart and mind will never change. The blessing will flow constantly, filling our very existence, because it is his decree, it is his throne, it is his joy to give to you and me. Now, this past Tuesday, when I sat with Pastor Pete and with Mike and we were talking about my thoughts for this message, they were all over Wakulla Springs. In fact, if we could have hopped in the car and road tripped right then and there to Florida to experience the beauty of that gift of the Creator, all over it, until I mentioned the alligators. For you see, it's part of the reality of Wakulla is gators like the spring too. And most of the time, they just sit and watch. So we sat and watched them like crazy as they were across the river, about 200 feet away, across the fast-flowing current, watching our children. If you take the boat tour on the river that the spring becomes, the tour guide will tell you with a wry smile on his face, especially if you're a Yankee, he will tell you that, well, probably 30 plus years ago now, there was a day where a tour boat was going up and down the river and talking about the river and the aquatic life and all that stuff. And the guy said, "Oh, look, there's a gator, and it has something in its mouth." And they came up on the gator, and lo and behold, it was a man who had swum out of the safe area. And so when you heard that, you watched your kids like a hawk, gators in the beautiful water. Isn't that a little true of the goals and dreams of our lives, our New York? You know, God told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam and Eve thought they knew better than God. They ate the fruit. Sin and death entered the world. Sin and death entered our dreams, altered our plans, and eventually pull the thorns and thistles of life, pull us down in the water as surely as that as those gators could. In our dreams, our shattered relationships, betrayals of friends, our bodies betray us through flaws and through age and through disease. Is there ever a moment in our lives where we look heavenward and we say, really, God, where is the fullness of life? Where is your blessing? Didn't your son say to us, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full? So I ask you, do you see the fullness of life? The blessings of the God who is our Creator and Savior flowing endlessly from His throne. I got to tell you that two people that are normally worshiping with us at the bridge are not here today. Richard and Lucille Krebs. Richard and Lucille, they're normally right about here with Lucille in her wheelchair and Richard with his walker in time for Lord's Supper before the bridge every week. And normally by this time, Lucille would be out in the cafe with Richard, she in her wheelchair, and him so faithfully attending to her. Well, Richard just had some major surgery, so a new experience for them to tackle. Lucille didn't know yesterday when I saw them at the hospital if she'd be here today. She hoped they would, but they're not. But I love to see Richard and Lucille. You see, they always bring me joy. Because in the midst of all their struggles, Richard and Lucille always see the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of their God. Through all of their sufferings, they see and they know that when Jesus came into this world, He took care of all the thorns and the thistles, the brokenness, the hurt, the pain, the gators in the water, by His blood shed on the cross to remove their sins and to give them eternal life. And so they always, every Sunday, they live with a smile. They persist with a smile, mostly, because they see the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. They see our forever home. And why does it bring a smile? Because John says, on each side of the river stands the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. My friends, do you remember how God cut us off from the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? Remember the account of the cherubim, the angels, with the flaming sword flashing back and forth, guarding the way to the tree of life so that we would die? It always intrigues me how we cling to the things of this world, even when we know that the best is yet to come. You see, God cut us off from the tree of life so that we would die, because He knew that sin and its curse would wound us and scar us and tire us and wear us down and eventually bring us to a place where we would long for respite and rest. So he cut us off from forever in this life and gave us the vision of what will be. Eden restored. The tree of life bearing fruit 12 crops a year. The tree of life planted next to that river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. God telling us, you will never again die. And the darkness will never again touch us. And the tree and its leaves will be healing for the nations. You know, every once in a while, someone will ask, Pastor Strobel, will we remember how hard this life was when we were in heaven? Will we remember how we died? And if we remember all those things, won't that taint heaven for us? Well, as I look at the scriptures of God, I see Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration. Two men come back from heaven talking with Jesus about his suffering and his death. I see in Revelation 5 the souls of the martyrs, those who have been killed for their faith, the souls beneath the altar of God in heaven crying out to God, when will you avenge our blood and bring justice on those who murdered us because of the name of Jesus? And I see the nail marks in the hands and on the feet of Jesus as he appeared to his disciples risen from the dead and alive and in glory before his disciples on Easter Sunday evening. It seems that you and I will remember what was. Now, some of us use herbal teas made from leaves, things like that, to give us health and happiness in this life. But there is nothing that we can eat or drink that will cheat death. But our God takes another metaphor, the picture of what we know. And he pictures the leaves of the tree actively providing healing for the elect of God, for the believers. Leaves growing on the tree of life that is rooted in the river of the water of life, the blessings of God pouring out of the throne, and those leaves carriers of the healing of God in heaven. That erase away the bitterness of memory, that erase away the hurt of memory. Kind of like, in a very limping metaphor, but kind of like the ice cream cone when I was 7 that took away the pain of the vaccination shots and helped my little mind to forget. God keeps adding on to the metaphors. Never again will you and I know the shadow of the curse. We sang with the band before, and I'm sure we have all prayed it at some point in our life, along with King David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. After sinning, Adam and Eve ran from God in fear. Even after the first gospel promise of the offspring of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent, God still tells us that no sinful human being can see the face of God and his glory and live. Yet, in the vision that Jesus gave to his servant John, Jesus tells us that in the city will be the throne of God and of the Lamb, and you and I will not run in fear. John tells us that we will see his face and we will not cower. John tells us that we will have the name of God on our foreheads, maybe the Hebrew, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the I Am. But John, in his epistle, reminds us, oh, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, belonging to him. Any darkness that ever touched our lives, any darkness of this life that you hope will never touch yours, will never touch us again. John reveals to us by the Spirit that in heaven there will be no more night. There will be no more darkness. For the one who said, I am the light of the world, will be there with us. No longer with the promise of salvation that will one day be, but with the reality of eternal life lived in his presence. No sin, no curse of sin, no darkness, no death, no fear of God. Oh, and the frosting on the cake, we will reign with God forever and ever. We will reign with God forever and ever. No darkness, no sin, no fear. As God and the Lamb sit on the throne and shower us with blessing. As I was growing up, my uncle was my hero. He was a farmer and a truck driver, and he had muscle and strength, and the nieces and nephews were so proud of my uncle because he could hit the farthest home runs in all the softball games at the family reunions, and he was always on our side. But even as big as his muscles, bigger was his faith. And he loved to serve people. And he always served with a smile. And he was always happy to see us. Uncle David has been gone a little over 2 years. Died at age 73, probably a heart attack. He had neuropathy in his feet by that time, numbness, couldn't always feel the ground. And so after he was gone, we found canes hidden in his life around the farm to help him get by. And he had wrestled in those last years with injuries as he still tried to hit home runs, though he was no longer 33. Uncle David is gone, but everything is okay because, you see, Jesus... Well, Jesus was my uncle's hero. Because of Jesus, my uncle helped me to see beyond this life. As we sat on the porch at the farmhouse, drinking together a can of Milwaukee's Best, we'd talk about the beautiful sunset in the west that the Creator was giving us. After every death and funeral, we talk about the Savior who had taken another loved one home. All of his siblings, including my mom, went ahead of him into heaven, and this would weigh on him. We would always joke as a family that Uncle David could cry at a good stake, but he especially would cry in church. When the songs would paint for him the river of the water of life flowing from the throne room of God, my Uncle David, he could sing. He was a barbershop guy, but he would choke up and he would cry, and we would smile and love him, but love his hero, our hero, loving our Jesus. You see, the promise of God today, welcome home, is that you and I have a forever home, Eden restored. My Jesus and my faith tells me that right now my family is sitting beneath the tree of life, waiting for the rest of us. And my guess is my family knows yours. How cool is that? They've had time. And they are not talking so much about what was. They are talking about what is. No darkness, no sin, no curse, no fear. Only Jesus and the fullness that is life. New York, New York, do you see it? The city that is our dreams? We're gonna wake up in the city that doesn't sleep. And find we're king of the hill, top of the heap, reigning with our Jesus in everlasting joy. and the Spirit and the angel and John say to us this day, welcome to your forever home. And all God's people say, amen. Please stand, let us pray. Great God and Lord, we thank you this day that the Holy Spirit of God has filled our minds with so many metaphors, it's hard for us to grasp. But help us to know that heaven is bigger and greater and more awesome than our earthly minds could ever ponder. Holy Spirit of God, raise our eyes beyond the blessings of this earth, beyond the dreams of this earth, and help us to see always heaven, our forever home, where all of the darkness, all of the pain, all of the suffering is nothing but a distant memory. And the blessings of our Creator God flow mightily over us and overwhelm us with joy and peace and love, always pointing us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that he stepped into our world, that he took on the ugliness, he took on the pain, he took on the sin. And he went to the cross to die for us and has promised that through faith in him, what we see now only by faith, we one day will see with our eyes. Heavenly Father, we long for the throne of your grace and mercy to see it with our own eyes. We long for the river of the water of life. We long for the tree of life and the leaves of healing. But the beauty is we know now by faith that it is ours. So thank you this day for welcoming us home already to our forever home. Be with us as we walk through our week. May we shine for you with the joy we have now because of what will be. And on this day, let all God's people join together and let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.